Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. As Paul writes in his second letter about our earthly bodies and our heavenly bodies. Please rise for the reading of this holy scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10, from the New Living Translation. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared for us this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, Redeemer. It's good to be with you here this morning. You gave me two today. Oh, man. I guess that's because he forgot that one week. And I mean, he was in another state, but that doesn't really. Well, let me get myself set up here just a smidgen. All right. My name is Pastor Forrest. So if we haven't had a chance to meet, I just want to introduce myself to you. If you're here visiting with us this morning, we are super thrilled to have you with us. Thank you for being with us today. And I look forward to maybe having an opportunity to meet you in the next couple of weeks. So originally, when I first started, I had this plan. And I told you at the moment, when I said it, it was a pretty big goal. It was an audacious goal that I was going to try to meet with everybody during the months of June and July. So this is a little bit of a progress report. I've met with 50 people so far. And by some countings, I'm about halfway through. But I still have 2 weeks to go. So I'm feeling hopeful that I might get to at least most of you. Really, realistically, I understand that was a pretty tough thing to do, but I wanted to try to meet with as many of you as I could because something really exciting is about to happen in the month of August. And what's going to happen in the month of August is I'm going to lay out and unveil. I like the idea of unveil. That's like seems really cool. I'm going to unveil the 7-year turnaround plan for Redeemer Bible Church. And so what I'm going to ask you to do in advance is start even thinking now your Wednesday nights through the month of August, leave those open. There'll be more details to come about what that's all going to involve, but the idea is I want to have an opportunity to explain and to clearly communicate to as many people as possible the plan for the next 7 years here at Redeemer. And I've had a little bit of a preview of what's going on, and I think you're going to love it. I really think it's going to be exciting for you. So please begin to mark off your calendar now with the Wednesday nights in August, and that's definitely going to be something that you're going to want to be a part of. So one of the things that I do need to tell you is, and this is exciting for some and then not exciting for others, but one of the things that I've said from the very beginning is that I feel like the Lord is doing some stuff here at Redeemer, but some of what is going to come is going to critically involve change. And there is going to have to be some change. Now, I've even said from the very beginning that some people will be, that's not enough change. And there'll be other people who'll be saying, that's way too much change. And so hopefully most of you will fall in the middle. We do need to make some changes. And I think most of the changes are going to be things that you're going to be excited about. But it will be uncomfortable. There's no way around it. So as your pastor, I just want to be the one to tell you there is probably some change coming, but I don't think there's any other way around it. So, but I think a lot of it will be stuff you'll be excited about. So at any rate, the biggest festival in the world, is the Carnival in Rio de Janeiro. It's the largest festival on the planet. Now there's two components to the Carnival. The first is a parade. And there's a parade that is kind of the main attraction, and it features some samba dancers who have these incredibly ornate costumes. Like, some of the costumes are 20 feet wide, and they're dancing through the streets and all this stuff, and it's dazzling. It's like, it's amazing. And then they have these floats. And like, when we think floats, we think of like a trailer up on a pickup truck, but these things are enormous. They're enormous, and they're colorful, they're bright, and they're outstanding to see. And so the big part of it is the parade. But there are also other venues throughout the city where there are street fairs that are going on and people can participate in. It's the largest festival in the world. It is estimated there are 2 million people every single day involved in the Carnival during the time period where the fair was on. It's enormous, 2 million people. For perspective, the Texas State Fair has about 2 million visitors to it in a whole year. And this carnival has 2 million people every single day. So the Carnival is the biggest festival on the planet. But that is nothing compared to the festival that's going to happen during the rapture. The rapture is going to be the largest festival, is going to be the largest gathering that this world has ever seen. Now, it's kind of tough to determine how many people are going to be there actually in the rapture, because it depends on when it happens. If it happens 1,000 years from now, it will obviously involve more people. But if somebody were to count heads in the rapture, very likely they will be counting in the terms of billions of people. Not millions, billions of people. The rapture is going to be the biggest festival this world has ever seen. This morning, what I want to do is I want to answer the question, what is the rapture? Now, depending upon your background, you may have heard a lot about the rapture, or you may have heard only a little bit about the rapture or whatever. So I'm just going to try to give you, what is the rapture about? What's it going to involve? Like, what's going to happen? Who's going to be there? And about when is it going to happen? And this morning, we're going to answer that question by looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians is, the section in 1 Thessalonians is the most comprehensive spot where the rapture is dealt with. The rapture comes up in various places in the Bible, but this is the most comprehensive spot. 1 Thessalonians, it's the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 is where we're going to be. And what we're going to see here is that the rapture is a reunion in physical bodies that could happen at any time. The rapture is a reunion in physical bodies that could happen at any time. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. We're going to go all the way over into chapter 5 and verse 3. First thing we're going to see this morning is that the rapture is a reunion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have also who have died. The rapture is going to be a huge reunion. And now, dear brothers and sisters, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy start off as they're writing in verse 13. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, he's writing to people who are believers, people who have placed their trust in Christ. They believe that because they're believing that Christ's death on the cross will pay the penalty for their sins, and because it's paying the penalty for their sins, they can now have an intimate relationship with God. So he's writing to them. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know, we're telling you something new or telling you something, giving you information. We want you to know what will happen. It's future. He's looking in the future. What will happen to the believers, people who have their faith and trust in Christ, who have died? We want you to know, what will happen to those who have, the believers who have died. Now, when these guys are writing this passage, they're talking about people that have died before them. But because the rapture hasn't happened, that actually includes all the believers who have died from that time until now. So this includes all of the people who are believers that have died. This is what's going to happen to them. He says, to the believers who have died, and so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. So Paul is explaining the reason why he's going to give them this information. I want you to have this information. I want to tell you about what's going to happen to the believers who have died, but I'm giving this to you for a reason. And the reason is that so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. And archaeology, we've done some archaeology in Thessalonica, and we found that the culture there had this sense that when a person died, that was it. Their cultural understanding was death was it. The cultural understanding was they would grieve someone's death, but they had no hope. And so Paul is writing to them and says, I don't want you to be like your culture. I don't want you to see grief like the people around you see it. Someone dies that they're close to, and it's like, that's it. It's over. It's all done. Paul says, I don't want you to see it that way. I know you're going to grieve for the loss of your loved one, but I don't want you to grieve like the people around you who have no hope. And that's the purpose behind why he's telling them what he's telling them. And then he goes on in verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, he's giving them a little bit of a thing that they can verify. Since this happened, and we know that that's true, then what I'm about to tell you about something that didn't happen yet but is in the future, that is also true. This happened. We know it happened. This is proof that what I'm going to tell you is also true. So he says, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe, here's the future part, that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We also believe that when Jesus returns, for those of you who have had any study in prophecy, you know that there are actually two more comings. Jesus is coming back two more times. One time in the rapture, which is what we're talking about today. And then after the tribulation, he's going to come back and he's going to set up the millennial kingdom. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But right now, he's talking about when Jesus comes back the first time in the rapture. It says, for since we believe that, or I said, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So what's going to happen is Jesus is going to come back, and when he comes back, he's going to bring back with him the spirits of the people who are believers who have died. And this is going to be an amazing reunion. Because what we're going to see in the next coming verses is we're going to go up there and we're going to meet them. But it's important to understand that when Jesus comes back, the people who have died are going to come back with him. And that's an important aspect for us to understand, because it's going to be a huge celebration. There's very common, if you go to a, if you have a family reunion now, a very common thing that people will do, that, that organizers of family reunions will do, is they'll have the family reunion t-shirt. And so you've probably seen people wearing these around, and the idea is that everybody going to the family reunion wears their t-shirt. And there's a lot of advantages to that. You know, one of the advantages is that if you're the one who's tasked with if you're the one who's asked to go to the airport and pick up your second cousin twice removed that you've never met before, it helps if you pick her up in the airport and she's wearing her bright orange t-shirt saying, whatever, family reunion. Well, it also helps when you're going to the public park. It's usually in a park where they have these family reunions, and you don't know exactly where everyone is, but you start driving around the park, and there's several hundred people all standing together with these orange shirts on. It's easy to find them. But the real value of these shirts is when you're talking to people, you know that there's something about them that you both have in common. It facilitates interaction. Like, if you have the shirt and I have the shirt, we have something in common. You're somehow related to someone that I'm related to. And so we're going to talk about it, and we're going to figure it out. So it's your dad is married to so-and-so. It's an interaction. There's an interaction that happens because of these t-shirts. And the idea that I want you to begin to see in your mind about what the rapture is the rapture is going to be like this huge reunion. It's going to be a huge reunion. There's going to be billions of people there. And they're all not technically going to be wearing reunion shirts, but I want you to visualize that. I want you to see it that way, that everyone's got this thing that's in common. And what's in common is that they have placed their faith and their trust in Christ. And so there's going to be billions of people, and we're going to be able to talk with any of them and all of them, because we all have something in common. And it's going to be a wonderful reunion. As a matter of fact, I want you to take the image that you have in your mind of what the rapture is going to look like. You've probably got an image in your head of what it is. And I want you to move that aside for a second. And I want you to put a different image in your head. And the image that I want you to put in your head is I want you to imagine a picture of billions of people all wearing the same t-shirt. Again, Bible doesn't say we're all going to be wearing the same t-shirt. But I want you to put that image in your head so you get the feel of what it's going to be like. Imagine billions of people. We're all wearing the same t-shirt. There's the wonderful smell of barbecue in the air. Okay, not probably going to be barbecue there. But I want you to get this picture in your head. There's going to be music playing. People are going to be talking. People are going to be laughing. It's going to be the biggest reunion this world has ever seen. And it's going to be critical as we go through this morning, because I'm going to challenge you to do something with this concept of the rapture. But in order to do it, I need you to get that picture in your head. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to get that picture in your head. Billions of people, same t-shirt, barbecue, music, laughing, singing, talking, having a great time. And I want you to say, Jesus is coming back. Okay? So get the image in your mind, put it in there, and say with me, Jesus is coming back. Okay, it's going to be critical that you have the picture. So get the picture. Everybody got the picture? Okay, in your mind, Jesus is coming back. The reason that that's so important is because we all have had, probably coming in this morning, we have ideas about what the rapture was going to be like. But I want us to begin to see what the rapture is going to be, this fantastic festival of billions of people that know God and are in a relationship with Him. So the rapture is a reunion. The rapture is a reunion in physical bodies. Look with me at verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet Him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Verse 15, we tell you this directly from the Lord. And so what Paul is doing here is he's not saying that everything else he's talking about isn't from the Lord. The whole thing is from the Lord. We know that. The whole book is from the Lord. But he's emphasizing that what he's about to tell him, this is from the Lord. You can trust this. Why was that an issue for them? Because Paul was going to tell them about something that was happening in the future. And it was going to be a little bit tough for them to say, okay, that's what's going to happen. So he's reminding them, this is straight from God. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Now, this is a little bit confusing. And we're going to unpack it and see why. This is a little bit confusing because it's like, okay, we who are still alive, believers who are still alive, when the rapture comes, we're not going to meet Jesus before the people who've already died. Well, aren't they already there? They're coming back with him. Paul knows this could be a little confusing, so he stops and he says, okay, let me go step by step. This is what's going to happen. It'll clear it up. He says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. These are prophesied signs that are to accompany Christ's return. So all Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are doing here is they're just reminding them, this has been prophesied a long time ago in the Old Testament and in the beginning of the New Testament. These are the signs that are going to come before Jesus returns. And it's for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. So there'll be a shout. Jesus will come down with the believers and their spirits. But first thing that's going to happen is the people who are coming down with him, their bodies are going to be resurrected. So their spirits are with Jesus, but their bodies are here in the earth. They're going to be given new bodies. They're going to be given new resurrected bodies, and they're going to join their spirit, and they're going to meet Jesus in the air. And then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then the people who are on the earth, who are believers, will be raptured up. This is where we get the term rapture from. They will be raptured up, given their new bodies, their eternal bodies, and we will meet the Lord in the air. So Jesus is with the spirits of the people who have died, comes down, they get their new bodies, we are on our way up to meet them, and we get our new bodies too, and this is where the reunion begins. Then we will be with the Lord forever. After this, then we will be with the Lord forever. And then Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy go on and say, so encourage each other with these words. It's important to understand one of the things that is highlighted here is the physical body is going to be involved. Our physical bodies are going to be involved in the rapture. I had a very interesting example happen to me of how important it is that we have a physical body. When Lisa and I were married, after our service, we had a reception line out in the foyer of the church. And reception lines at weddings, you've probably seen them before. It's kind of where the bride and the groom and the groom's parents and the bride's parents are kind of in a line. And then all the guests kind of come by and they greet you and you thank them for coming to the wedding and they wish you well or whatever. And so we're going through this line. And I have to tell you that my wife's grandmother was a very sweet lady. I knew of her. I didn't know her very well, but she was a very sweet lady. And so she came through the line and she got to me and she kissed me right on the lips. like grabbed me and kissed me right on the lips. I'm 20 years old, and there's not a lot that shocked me at that point, but that shocked me. I was like, what just happened? And I tried really hard not to react, but she kissed me right on the lips. Now, for some of you, if you're from a family where that happens, it's not a big deal, okay? But in my family, you don't kiss nobody on the lips except for the one you're married to. And she was standing right next to me. So I'm like, what is this lady kissing me on the lips for? So it freaked me out. It totally freaked me out when it happened. And my wife was like, no, just chill out. She's from a family where that happens. People do that. Actually, what she's saying is before we were married, she thought you were great. But now that you're in the family, now that we're married, she loves you. And I began to think as I processed that, and I began to think about that happening, and I processed that, the physical, that's a big deal. That's a big deal that we have an opportunity to love each other, to express love, to communicate with each other in a physical way. Now, I still freak out the concept of thinking about someone kissing me. That's just weird to me. Like, it's still weird to me. But she taught me an important lesson about the value of physical touch. And that's why it's so critical here. What they're saying is that we're going to be raised, what these authors are saying is we're going to be raised up and we're going to be in physical bodies. This family reunion that's going to be going on of all these billions of people, we're going to have bodies, we're going to be fist bumping each other, we're going to be hugging each other, we're going to be shaking hands, probably not me, a lot of kissing going on, but I mean, it's just going to be a fun atmosphere. We're going to be in physical bodies where we can do that. And the coolest thing is that it might take us a while to get there, but we're actually going to be able to go up to Christ, and we're going to be able to hug him, and we're going to be able to put our arms around him in a physical body, and in his physical body. Now, we know Christ has done some amazing things for us, but being able to touch him is going to be off the charts for us. And I think that's the moment, that's the element here that these authors are trying to communicate is we're going to be resurrected in new bodies and we're going to be hanging out together, physically able to connect with each other. And that's going to be huge. So this morning, what I'm going to want to challenge you to do with this is that as I work through this challenge of what I'm going to ask you to do, one of the components that I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to say, Jesus is coming back, but I'm going to ask you to actually hug the person you're talking about or shake their hands, physically touch them. And the idea behind this is it's a reminder to you that the rapture is going to be a physical, there's a physical component to it. It's going to be. But it's going to help you to begin to visualize Jesus is coming back and it's this huge reunion, but it's going to be in a physical body. So that challenge that I'm going to give you at the very end is going to involve a hug and a handshake. And that's going to be an important component of what we're going to talk about. So the rapture is a reunion in physical bodies that could happen at any time. Look with me at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, the authors are saying, okay, I'm going to give you some more details about this rapture that's about to happen. He says, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. They're saying, we've already told you this, that the day of the Lord is coming and it's going to be unexpected. We've already told you, we're just going to remind you. That day is going to be like a thief in the night. We don't have any problem understanding that illusion. It's something that's going to happen and there's going to be no warning. Thieves don't come and knock on your door like, hey, I'm about to rob you. They don't do that. They come unexpectedly. Okay, and that's what he's saying, that this rapture is going to happen unexpectedly. It'll come like a thief in the night. when people, not believers, but people in the culture, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, there's no problems, then disaster will fall on them. Now, the disaster is not the rapture, but the disaster is what comes right after the rapture, which is the tribulation, which we'll talk about next week, and it's going to be a disaster. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. And the imagery here, the idea behind the no escape is that once that time happens, there's no going back and saying, oh, I wish I'd done something differently yesterday. Like, okay, time out, God, can we rewind a little bit and I'm going to accept you tomorrow? It doesn't work like that. Once the rapture happens, there's no turning back time. The rapture will happen, the believers will be raptured up, and those who are left behind will have no recourse to wish that they had done something differently the day before, the week before, or the months before. My earliest recollection of a family reunion was when I was a little kid. I was riding home on my bike. I was riding home from somewhere, and I went past my friend's house. His name was Clarence, and I could see in his backyard that there was a ton of people in his backyard. And there was a smell of barbecue coming off of there, and it was smelled amazing. And people were laughing, and they were having just a grand time. So I'm riding my bike all by myself, and I'm like, man, I really wish I'd have been invited to that place. You know, because everybody was having fun. I could tell that there was something going on. And so that's kind of the imagery of what's going on here, is that the rapture is going to come. We're all going to be riding our bikes. The life's going to be going on. Everything's going to be, and then instantly, the rapture is going to happen, and there's no turning back whatever we've decided one way or the other. That's the nature of what the rapture is going to be like. And so a lot of people even come to the place where, like, the rapture is probably not going to happen because everything's peaceful. There doesn't seem like there's anything going on. That's the perfect indication that it could happen at any time. The rapture could happen at any moment. So one of the things, what I'm going to challenge you with this morning is I'm going to challenge you to say that Jesus is coming back, but I'm going to ask you to say it a little bit quicker. So when you're saying this to the people over this week, I want you to say it a little bit faster, okay? So repeat after me, Jesus is coming back. Okay, now we're going to do it again this time, but I want you to say it a little bit faster, okay? So Jesus is coming back. Okay, a little bit faster. Ready? Okay. Jesus is coming back. Okay. Now, you guys have been with me for a couple weeks now. Why in the world would Pastor Forrest want me to say Jesus is coming back faster? Why in the world would Pastor Forrest want me to say Jesus is coming back a little bit faster? Anybody figured it out? Whoa, I thought everybody would get it. Okay. Because it could happen at any moment. The rapture could literally happen at any moment. And so from a real practical standpoint, I'm just encouraging you to say it a bit faster, because if you don't get all the words out, it might happen before you finish this sentence. It was kind of corny, I know. But the idea behind that is this, though. The rapture could happen at any moment. So this morning, I kind of posed a little question to you, said, what is the rapture? What's it going to be like? Who's going to be there? When could it happen? And so as we've worked through this passage, we've talked about how the rapture is a reunion in physical bodies that could happen at any time. And I'm asking you to work through this process of coming up with these three things. I want you to say this word, Jesus is coming back, but I want you to do three things with it as you're doing it. The first thing is replace the picture in your mind that you have of whatever you thought the rapture was and put this new picture in. It's this picture of billions of people all wearing the shirts, the same reunion shirts, and the smell of barbecue, and this people are laughing and talking and having a wonderful time. Get that picture in your mind when you say it. And then second of all, the thing I want you to do is I want you to touch the person. Give them a hug. maybe shake their hand, whoever you're telling it to, do that with them, something physical to remind you that this is going to be in a physical body. And then the last thing I want you to do is I want you to say it quickly. Jesus is coming back. And the reason I'm challenging you to say it quickly is so that you will remember it could happen at any time. A couple of weeks, or last week, I told you about my son coming down to Dallas, and he's going to come down and study at DTS, and I'm super excited about it. As a matter of fact, this past week, I went down to the apartment that they're going to be moving into, and there was some guy working in there, so I was able to go in and video it and send it to him. I'm super excited. But last week when I was preaching, I told you about them coming down. And I told you about them coming down because it's something I'm excited about, and I wanted to encourage you, and I wanted you to be excited about it too. It was something that was good for me, but I wanted to take some of my enthusiasm and share it with you. And that's the whole idea of the concept of the rapture. The rapture, the details about what the rapture is going to be like, it's good for us. It's good information for us to have. It's encouraging for us. It's to motivate us, but it's not just for us. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they challenge, or they command the believers in one of the verses we looked at, and one in a little bit further, he commands them, encourage each other with these words. We are to be encouraged when we hear about the rapture, but it's not just for us. It's data that we're supposed to give to other people to encourage them as well. And so my challenge for you this week is to tell 5 people that Jesus is coming back. They can be friends, they can be family members, they can be people who are believers, people who are not yet believers, it doesn't matter. I'm challenging you to tell 5 people that Jesus is coming back. And in your sermon notes, at the very bottom of your sermon notes, there's a little checkbox. There's a place where you can check there and say, okay, I'm going to try to tell 5 people this week that Jesus is coming back. And remember, you're not just saying the words. There's 3 things you have to do with it. You're going to say it, but first of all, you're going to think in your mind this picture that I've given you of a reunion with everybody wearing the t-shirts and barbecue and singing and laughing and talking. Get that image in your mind and then reach out and touch them, hold their hand, hug them, whatever, and tell them quickly, Jesus is coming back. And I'm challenging you to do that 5 times this week with 5 different people. And the reason behind that is because we're commanded to not only be encouraged that Jesus is coming back, but to encourage the people around us that Jesus is coming back as well. This morning, as I've been talking about this, and as you've had an opportunity to hear what we're talking about, there's a very good possibility that you might be sitting here this morning and you're like, Pastor Forrest, this is amazing, but I've never come to the place in my life where I have asked Christ to be my Lord. I have never placed my faith and trust in Christ. And so I don't have an intimate relationship with God. And if you're one of those people, I'll be up front here. I'll stay as long as you need to talk. Please just come talk to me. I would love the opportunity to talk to you. Just find out what's going on with you. If you're one of those people who have maybe at some point in the past you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, maybe as a kid you did it, but now that you've gotten older or things have happened, you don't feel very close to God. You don't feel like there's a very intimate relationship with God. Come talk to me. I would love to talk to you. I'll be up front here. I'll be happy to talk to whoever needs to talk, and I'll be happy to talk to them as long as they need to talk. For the rest of you, though, I'd invite you to go ahead and get out your supplies for communion. We're going to take communion here in just a little bit. If you didn't grab one on your way, just let Don know here, and he will be happy to bring one to you. And we'll start with the bread. Communion is a very powerful time for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us, and it's a very wonderful reminder of the sacrifice that he was willing to pay on our behalf. So if you're here this morning and you have not placed your faith and trust in Christ, this isn't going to make a lot of sense to you. You're not, there's nothing for you to remember because you don't know exactly what Christ did for you. That's not something that you're intimately involved with. And so remember, you're going to come up and talk to me after service, remember? Yeah. But if you are, this won't make a lot of sense to you. So you're probably best to just let this pass. If you are a believer, you're welcome to take communion this morning. We'd love to have you, even if you don't go to this church, even if this is not your home church, or if you're not a member here, we don't care about any of that stuff. This is a remembrance of what Christ did for us as believers. So you're welcome to participate. One quick warning, if you are a believer though, and you're harboring in your heart anger and bitterness towards another believer who may have sinned against you or you may have sinned against them, whatever, we just ask you, just let it pass. This week, work on whatever the difficulty is you're having with that other believer. Get that cleared up and come back next week and take communion with us. We often go to the book of Corinthians for the text for what we're going to talk about. That's what we'll do again today. It says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then that passage concludes, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Communion is our remembrance of what Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us so that we could be a part of the rapture, so that we can meet him in the air in a physical body and have this party that Pastor Wilson is talking about. As our service comes to the close, we want to think about how deep the Father's love is for us. We will be singing "How Deep the Father's Love." The first verse will be sung by the worship team, and then I will invite you to rise as we sing the rest of the verses.
Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a good week.
So pretty.